So the title, which I very rarely do, it's not with the title, is The Power of Resurrection. And I usually don't do an Easter message, but today it was on my heart that I need to really do a resurrection Easter, quote unquote, message. I don't like the word Easter, but a resurrection message. Because I understand that we understand as believers the power of Jesus died and he rose. But you know how I am. I like to go through the points. I like to find those hidden gems that we may miss. And so this is where I am. And this is so where I am right now, where God is walking me through. And he's been saying to me, I need you to understand not just I died for your sins and rose, but the specifics as much as I can give. I don't know everything. And I don't have enough time in this message to give us everything. But I did get five significant points. And God told me, I want you to look for five. So I looked for five significant points about resurrection and the power of it. And so I want to begin with that. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to start right at the very first verse. And I'm going to lay out some foundation here. And then we're just going to have a good time with it. Father, bless this message and bless the people who receive it, that it is life-changing and altering for us all. So starting at verse 1, it said, after the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. So just by saying that, we understand this is after Jesus was crucified, put to death, put in the cave, stone rolled in front of it, guards standing by to protect it, because they said, this guy said he would rise in the third day. So let's protect the tomb so that they won't come and steal his body and try to say he is risen. They had a whole plan in mind, and this protection was for them to protect the fact that what they chose to not believe would stay intact. I don't know if you heard what I just said, because it was powerful. They did this to protect what they chose not to believe. Let me say it one more time. They did this to protect what they chose not to believe. See, we spend a lot of time protecting what we believe, but we also spend time protecting what we choose not to believe. And they decided not to believe that Jesus was anything but a vagabond, ragamuffin, running around messing up stuff, bringing his religion, creating a cult. And they didn't want to receive the truths, even though the miracles were there and the moves of God was there and the evidence was there. You know, there's people that's in your life, somebody could say amen, that they've seen God move for you. They've seen the power of God, but they are so set on not believing it that they will try to come up with any kind of logic or rationale to make your experience not a real thing. They'll try to tell you, yeah, well, that just happened. Yeah, well, it could have been just coincidence. But yeah, it could have been this. And just they'll do everything they can to protect what they choose not to believe. So they chose not to believe that Jesus was who he said he was, or he was the promised Messiah. So they had this thing protected. What were they protecting? Their choice to believe or to not believe. Very important what I'm saying to you right now. So they going the next day to the tomb, pay their respects. And as they were on their way there, the scripture says in verse number 2, there was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord had come down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the temple and sat on it. Now, his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid that they shook and became as dead men. I love when the scripture says, and they became as dead men. We have a word for that today that it may not have existed then. They fainted. Oh, and they passed out. These men. I need you to get this image because it's hysterical to me, right? These are not sheep herders or lay people. These are military men. These are gods. These are people who have seen life and death, taken life. These are the strongest of the, these are soldiers. These are warriors. And they passed out. Hysterical. They passed out so strong. It was like they were dead. They passed out. The sight of this thing must have been so overwhelming to them as these gods, these men, these mighty men, that they just passed out, just fainted. So I guess they said, we're gonna write it, and they became as dead men to make it sound more macho. But the truth is, you're fainted, bro. You're fainted. You're fainted. The age you came and all your weapons and swords and whatever you had, you just laid down and just passed out. Now, this is hysterical because that means this sight was so traumatic to them that their senses couldn't handle it. Wait, we're not even talking about the resurrection of what Jesus did and how powerful that must have been in itself. That there's one of the stories of the Bible that says, in the tombs of all the prophets and stuff before him were open, and they got up and were walking the streets, and the people saw them. That power was something else. So this power is something else. The power of the angel just coming back and rolling back the stone. And then he sat on it, like, so now what? Like, I'm now not only I'm gonna come up on your job and move your stone, I'm gonna just sit here, like, because I can, and you're gonna just pass out, right? Now, spending a lot of time on that, but I just thought that was so hysterical when God showed it to me. I was like, wow, I never thought about that. Now, so the angel came down, he sat on, rolled back the stone, and he sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and passed out and fainted. I'm saying it the way it really goes. And they shook and fainted. They probably pooped themselves and all kind of other stuff, right? And the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know what you are looking for. Jesus, who was crucified, he is not here. So I need you to understand now. Stay with me. The stone being rolled back and him sitting on it was an after act, right? He was already gone. He didn't say, oh, he's going to be leaving. He said, he's not here. Like, he's gone. So that means Jesus rose and got out of stone and all. He was gone. Leave the stone there and everything. I'm going to leave. And then I'm going to send an angel to come and roll the stone back so you can see what I did. I've already made the move. And the thing that I've come to do has been done, but I'm going to roll back the stone so you now in your natural life can see what I've done. But what I've done, I've already done. My God, my God. What Jesus did for us, he's already done. The power of resurrection is it's already done. It's not, I'm getting to the end of my message before I'm supposed to get there. But listen, I'll just follow the Holy Spirit. The work is done. And I'm concluding at the beginning, right? Listen, it's already done. He came. He did the work before you got saved, before you knew who he was, before you were yet in your mother's womb. The price was paid. It was done. The rolling back of the stone, the things that you manifested and you've seen in your life, the miracles that God has done for you, the healings, the whatever, this is just him rolling back the stone so you can see what's already been done. The demons are already fainted. The situations have already been put in place. What he came to do was done, and us walking around trying to get Jesus to do is crazy when it's already been done. The stone is just being rolled away so you can see with your human naked eyes what has been done before you were even in your mama's womb. Amen, right? Just end the message, right? Just there it is. And so let's just bring it on home. I got like five verses here, but God just took me straight to the end. Listen, the work's done, and the power of resurrection is in the fact that he planned this before the foundation of the earth. And it was put in place for me and you, and he did it. But I'm gonna read the rest of it. An angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know what you're looking for. It's Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen. Come and see where he used to lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Lord, am I getting past this verse? He's already done it, and he's going ahead of you. Oh my God. Oh my God. How many of you have taken a step right now that you feel has been a challenging step, but as you're taking it, you're realizing that God has already went ahead of you. Like he's already done it, and he's going ahead, and he's preparing a new place for you. Then we talk about Sophie in the apartment. It was God was preparing it. It was ready. Now I'm going to go ahead of you, and I'm going to set this opportunity up. They could have stayed right there in their houses afraid and not going into Galilee. He said, "I'm going. Go tell them." Now here's the thing. The men passed out, the women didn't. I just want to say, because they came with a purpose. They came to see something. The other ones came there to try to prevent from seeing something. But she was there to see, they were there to see, and because they were able to see the manifestation, not be afraid, tell the story, come on, and then get the advice to go back and tell the brothers. You know, I get flack for this. But these men who say women ain't supposed to preach and all this mess, well, the two Marys went and got the word first, and they were supposed to go back and tell the other brothers. So, I mean, they had to go back and preach something. I'm just saying, we not only do we got to come back and tell you, we got to come back and give you an instruction, right? That he is not there, he is risen, and he's going ahead of us, and he wants us to go meet him there. So it was more than coming back and just preaching the word, but they had to give a direction and instruction to the brothers who was hiding out in the house. Just want to say, I ain't trying to diss the brothers. I'm just want to say the order of events are as they are. I didn't write the Bible. But Jesus is going ahead already. He's not where you were looking for him. And sometimes it takes us years to figure out that Jesus ain't where we were looking for him. Sometimes he ain't you praying and fasting and believing he ain't never going to show up in that place that you in. He's not going to be there. He's not going to do it. It's not fast, pray, get 50 prayer partners and warriors to join with you. He's not there. He's risen from that situation. He's going ahead to go to the next part of your journey, and he's there waiting for you. Oh my God, can I shout right now? God is going ahead of us. He's done it. He's risen. Your situation is risen. Your life has changed. The opportunity has moved ahead of you, and you still pray for God to bless you in the place you're in, and it's not going to happen. He's not there. I'm going to roll the stone back just so you can see, but I'm already gone. Somebody say, "Lord, show me where you are so I can meet you." Come on, say it like you mean it. Lord, show me where you are so I can meet you there. See, the power of God is not in your yesterday. Those are testimonies, but it's not power. It's testimonies. The power is where he wants you to be and where he's planning to meet you. That's where the power is. The power is in the instruction he gave you to go forward and when you arrive at that destination where he is. The stories of yesterday are to encourage us to go forward. The power of resurrection is to go from where we are to where he's called us to be. Can I get an amen from somebody? The power of God is in showing up. People were standing there. I remember back in 1975 when I had cancer. That's the last story you got? What's he doing now? What do you have to show for what he said into your life today? I'm in the place of my life right now. I'm like, God, there's too much that has not manifested because I've parked in one place for too long. And I'm going forward now, and I'm determined for however much time I got left on this earth to not prevent you from doing what you want to do with me any longer. Somebody say, I want all my blessings, Lord. This is the season, and we're not going to get to these other verses. I just don't think so. But this is the season where God is saying, I've called you out into greater things. Go ye into the world and preach. I share with my kids, and I share with my nephew, I share with my brother. Get out of there. Pastor Fontaine was speaking to me the other day, and he shared this story which blessed my heart. He said, you know, I was talking to somebody, and he said, I started ministering to him. And he said, and then I went to my wife, and I said, you know something that I love about Pop? He's not afraid to share his faith with his gospel with anybody. He just does it. Like, you know, he's not afraid wherever he is or whoever he's talking to, he'll just share. I was like, no, like, and I thought about what he said, and I said, it's not about being afraid or unafraid. It's about me just knowing that I have a story to tell and I gotta tell it. That story defines who I am and how I got to be. So it's not me thinking I gotta share the gospel with somebody. It's like being in love. I'm just gonna tell you about the person I love. This person is in my life and very active. Like, it's not about me being bold. It's not about me being confident. It's about I understand that if you function in my life to get me where I am, that to go where I'm going, you still have to be a very integral part of my life. Jesus can't be a part of my yesterday only. He has to be a part of my today, and he has to be a strong part of my tomorrow. So, no, talking about it for me, I know I'm not getting any further without him. He's already risen. He's already gone before you to set up the next part of your destiny. He's not here. He's gone. Forgetting those things which are behind you, you press forward to the mark of the high calling. I had this whole plan to walk through his death, his burial, he rose. It is what was said. The disciples, I got my verses, all it was just perfect. But God said, I want to say one thing to you today. I was in your yesterday, but I am in your today, and I am in your tomorrow. And I need you to move beyond where you've limited me to so I can do the things that I've planned for you. He's not coming back to the tomb to meet us. He's going ahead. So don't be afraid. I know what you're looking for. He's not here. He's risen. He's going to the next level. And he's telling you, go forward and meet me. I'm going to end it on this. One of the statements or one of the things I post on Vision Builders was, on the road to doing right, that which is wrong will correct itself. I've learned that faith without works is dead. I don't know how I learned that, but maybe I just figured it out. I don't know. I read it somewhere, right? That faith without works is dead. And I didn't understand for a long time the power of that statement. Jesus didn't come to die. People say he came to die. No, he came to rise. He came to die for your sins. He didn't come to die. He came to die for your sins. He came to pay the price. He came to rise so that you can rise with him. As I am, so are you in the world. And the works that I do, you should do also, and all that great stuff. He didn't come to die. He didn't come to hang on a cross for us to make, crucifixes with some white bony guy hanging on it, right? He didn't come for that. He came to rise. What we should have hanging in our house is images of him floating off, right? He came to rise, and he came to rise for our sins and pay the price for our sins. So death is not the final chapter. It's the resurrection. He's not here. He's not in the grave. He's not in the pit. He's not hanging on the cross. He's not dead. Your life is not dead. It's not hanging on the cross. It's not, you're not supposed to hang up the failures for you to look at as you pass every day and remind yourself of what didn't work and could have worked and how many mistakes you made and how many times you got it wrong. That's the death. It's about the resurrection. The power in resurrection is change, is growth, but it's also you accepting that he paid the price through his death and then his resurrection. And I don't like to say, people say through his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus was not buried. He was put in a cave and the rock was broken. They didn't dig up no ground and push him down 6 feet. Okay, he was put in the cave and they closed the cave. That's how it worked. Okay, wrapped him in a bunch of cloth, and maybe that's what they call it, a burial. But he was sent to be an example of what the dead us looks like and what the resurrected us looks like. And we follow that example by knowing that he's not where we keep putting him, or the last place he blessed us, or the word last place you saw a move of God, or any of that stuff. Saints, he's not there. He's not there. And I pray that all your little soldiers and police and military that you got set up around your old image of Jesus faints and passes out so that you can get yourself together and go where he's called you to be. Because all these little idols that we've erected to the Jesus of yesterday mean nothing to him. He's not the Jesus that walked around and made fish and wine and wine out of water and fish. That Jesus, as beautiful as those stories are, that Jesus was just a type of what he came to do. And what he came to do is say that you may have life and have it more abundant. Not to keep talking about, I remember the time I couldn't pay my bills. That's not the Jesus we serve. The Jesus we serve sits on the right hand of the Father along with us. And the works that he did, we should do. The power of resurrection is in the doing, not hanging on to the what was done. Father, we thank you for insight, wisdom, understanding, knowledge of God, peace and prosperity with patience and abundance, that we begin to see you in the opportunities that you present. We begin to really see the power of your resurrection is for us to resurrect and not to just be normal. I claim that we no longer live in pain. We no longer live in suffering. We no longer live in anguish, trying to figure out what you're doing. We know what you're doing. You're going ahead and expecting us to follow. And we say yes, that we can do the works that you've called us to do. Bless each and every person listening to the sound of my voice. Open their eyes and their hearts to the opportunities that you have laid out for us, that we walk through them with ease. I come against every spirit of fear. I come against every spirit of bondage that has kept us in a place. I come against every thought that would try to speak to us against who we're called to be. And we thank you that we have the dominance in this earth to do everything you've called us to do. And we bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.